Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Thing I Love Most show with me, Noel Valbon. And the thing, once again, that we are loving most this week is VAR. It's our new player. I love it. It's our new friend until next week when they completely stuff us up, which I'm sure will happen. But we did mention last week that we were obviously taking a 12th man up with us to the Etihad, and so it proved. It was an interesting game, which we are going to divulge and talk about in much depth. So on the line we have Mr. Lee Curtin once again. Welcome, Lee.
Hello.
And we have Dorset Lee. How are we doing, Dorset Lee?
All right, me old darling.
Hello, mate. Oh, look at that. You see, he's gone all the way to Dorset, but he's still not lost his Cockney charm.
Brilliant. Oh, that was supposed to be Dorset. That was.
Oh, was it? Oh God! Well, you're terrible, mate. I thought you meant. No, I thought you picked up. We have Mr. Matthew Coulson, who's from Spurs, who's not been on for a while, had a summer break, has been spending all of his newfound wealth as a as his new job. So well done, Matt. Good to have you back. And if you do recognise his voice, you might have been on a few trains recently receiving some fines. Welcome, Matt. Good to have you back. So let's talk about the game. Obviously, we're not just going to talk about the VAR, although it was quite an important part of the game. But let's start with the beginning. Last week, we did talk about formation. We talked about team selection. And he basically went against all of what we were saying. And he ended up picking the same team almost pretty much, which started against Villa the week before. He went for that 4-3-3, sort of 4-3-2-1 that we didn't particularly like. And it didn't work again, which is frustrating to see because for me, it was the same problems. It was Sissoko was playing sort of wide right and he got the ball in really good positions. And he didn't know what to do with it again. And it's like, we're going back in time, it seems now. These were the issues that we had 2 years ago when Sissoko was being played out of position. Last season, they moved him in the middle and he was a revelation, one of our players of the season. And now he seems to be playing him, Winks and Ndombele in a three. And again, it just doesn't seem to be working. The shape was better when Winks went off. And also because we didn't have the possession, it was a bit pointless having Winks on there in the first place because he's not really going to win the ball back. He's very good if we're controlling games because he can distribute it well and he can move us up the pitch. But if we don't have the ball, he is a bit of a luxury, really. And so obviously having Moura come on did change the game as much as obviously he got the goal. But I thought the shape then looked better. Sissoko lying a bit deeper, being able to break forward with Ndombele, and then obviously Moura further up the pitch. So firstly, Lee Curtin, were you surprised with his selection? Were you annoyed when you saw the team?
Yeah, I was surprised. Like you said, I think three or four of us last week gave our kind of team selection and our changes, and none of us called it. Basically, he just went with Eriksen instead of Moura and kept the shape the same, which was our biggest undoing against Villa for the first 45 minutes. So getting away with it against Villa is one thing. Trying to then get away with it against Manchester City is a little bit of a head scratcher. And I just don't think the guys, I don't think they know what they're doing. I don't think they fully get it. I'm not convinced they fully get it. And if they do get it, then maybe we just don't communicate very well. And I don't think the communication's good enough out there for them to be understanding what's being asked of them. Because when we spoke, I thought, I kind of predicted Ndombele and Sissoko would play. But I also thought Ndombele would come and get it and Eriksen would come and get it off the back four, if you like. And, we just didn't get near the ball for them to even try and play, to be honest with you. And then the biggest disappointment, as you point out, is Sissoko back on the right-hand side. Now, it's not his strongest position. Not nowhere near close. And I felt so sorry for Walker Peters, who was left exposed out that side because Sissoko was dragged into the middle and then trying to get back out to the touchline and cover him. And he couldn't do it. And Walker Peters, he had another 7 out of 10 game for me. He was up against Sterling, who's causing players all around the world an absolute nightmare at the moment in an England shirt and a City shirt. And I thought he gave the ball away once and he got a bit comfortable another time. And people might point at him for the first goal. I thought he did quite well, you know, considering he was so exposed out there. I thought it was a real letdown, that formation. I really think it was a letdown to start a game like that. So, yeah, I was a bit disappointed, and I was a bit surprised we persisted with that particular formation.
Yeah, I agree. So Dorset Lee, with regards to the rest of the lineup, were you once again surprised to see Vertonghen on the bench continuing this weird sort of like we're not really sure what's happening type vibe? Is he fit enough? Is he not? What's your sort of take on it?
Yeah, really surprised that Vertonghen was out, to be honest with you. I think, you know, in a game against a team like City, let's face it, are, you know, a fantastic team, you want your strongest possible lineup out there. And the understanding between Jan and Toby, for me, is, you know, key for our success. So really, I was a little bit disappointed about it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Sanchez is a decent player, I do, but I don't think you can get away from those two together. And I just think if Jan was on the pitch, I don't think Walker Peters gets dragged in so narrow, and then Sterling doesn't get all that space. That was my view. I think, you know, Jan would have marshalled that a lot better, and give him a little bit more support. And I think with for me, that him not being in there was the first thing I was surprised about. And then Winks still being in the team and losing Moura, I thought didn't make a lot of sense. I personally wanted to see Eriksen in there with Ondombele and Sissoko, sort of, you know, Sissoko maybe breaking it up or getting in the way and pushing it forwards, you know, and then a little bit of creativity in front of him. So I was a bit surprised at that, to be honest.
Matt, how would you rate Eriksen's performance, considering obviously he was left out of the starting 11? Sorry, my mic's got a bit crazy. because seeing as he was left out before, there we go. Is it back? Oh God, it's going weird. There we go. Let's back. So yeah, considering obviously he was left out of the starting 11 against Villa. Obviously, we're not having much possession. It was quite difficult. But when he did get on the ball, was it the same Eriksen, or do you still think his head is a little bit turned and he's almost just sort of thinking about a move away?
You do get that feeling, don't you? And I'm glad you mentioned it, because I wanted to talk about Vertonghen as well, because obviously we don't know, do we? We don't know 100% what's happened. But the fact that Vertonghen's come out and said that he's not injured, it really does lean to the fact that an approach has been made for him. I mean, my personal thoughts are, I think possibly Ajax have come in for him, or like a club that he can't turn down. And yeah, with Eriksen, I feel like if Poch could, he'd have him on the bench the same as Vertonghen, but he can't. He just can't put Eriksen on the bench. And the Villa game proved that, didn't it? But the thing is with Eriksen, I mean, I noticed with the corner that Moura scored the goal from, it was Lamela taking the corner. So, you know, I'm glad he's not on corner duty anymore, you know, but you can just sense his head's not right, is it? I mean, we say he's got a year left, and Potts come out and talked about it today, didn't he? The fact that we've given ourselves this self-imposed problem, haven't we, in the Premier League, where all these clubs can come in for our players, but we can't do a single thing. So, you know, I think Poch has come out and he's got that frustration with Eriksen and potentially Vertonghen, you know. But until the end of the European transfer window, whatever, if Eriksen's still there, I don't think we're going to see Eriksen right until it's resolved one way or the other, you know.
Yeah, I think obviously it has been good to a certain degree to get our signings done before the season started. But obviously, as you've alluded to, the other teams can still buy our players from Europe. So it's almost, we're in the worst situation because they can't, you know, they can come in, but we can't do anything about it. So, you know, at least when we were doing the same thing, we could still react and we still knew what might happen. But now we're just completely, our hands are tied, and it's incredibly frustrating. And I can see why Poch is getting annoyed, because we're still in that limbo, when obviously, you know, we can't do anything. So it is very, very frustrating. So talking about players that may leave, Aurier and Wanyama were not on the bench at all. So meaning that Skip is now basically ahead of Wanyama in the pecking order, we're led to believe.
And then Aurier possibly might be going back to PSG. We just don't know. So were you surprised that none of them were on the bench, Lee? Curtin?
I was probably initially a little bit surprised that Aurier wasn't on the bench. Just kind of based on last week's team and KWP starting. Because you potentially leave yourself a bit of a problem there. However, we had Vertonghen, on the bench, and we had Dier on the bench, who are both capable of covering that particular position. Or Vertonghen may drop in, and Toby might go out to the right. So, I think in Poch's thinking, he's got it covered. You know, should we lose somebody, but long term, and going back to European transfer window to sell Aurier, who's not everybody's cup of tea, I get. But to sell Aurier at this point, I don't think is a clever move for us. Given the window and given the players that are available and given who we'd like to lose, I'd probably only accept a bid for Wanyama. He's the only one I would probably let go and not worry about it. Everybody else, I would want to ensure that they're there until we can actually do business again. Otherwise, we're going to leave ourselves in a real precarious position.
Lee, sorry to interrupt, mate, but with Wanyama, is that because of his injury problems, or you just don't think he's good enough for the first team?
I think his injury problems have taken its toll on him. You know, when he first arrived, he was a beast of a player, and he could play. And he came back last year, I know, towards the end, and he was chucked into a very hectic schedule. But he doesn't look the same. He doesn't look the same. So you look at our midfield now, and we're heaving. You know, there's no room at the inn for midfielders at the moment. And you've got to look and go, right, well, if we're going to lose one or two, who's it going to be? And you would say Wanyama. Dier gives you versatility. Again, not everybody's cup of tea, but it gives you versatility. And you've got Sissoko and Ndombele there now, and it looks like Skip's skipped ahead of him. So, you know, it's you're now looking in a position where you go, Wanyama probably a surplus requirements. So he would be the one that I would let go. I would fight tooth and nail to keep Vertonghen if that is the case. You know, I think as the guy said already, we don't get Walker Peters dragged all over the pitch if Jan's on the pitch. And that second goal doesn't come in. That second goal doesn't happen if Vertonghen's on the pitch. So I'm only losing Wanyama, and that's all I'm happy to lose. I would be very upset to lose any of the others at this stage.
It does seem quite an interesting thing, I think, because obviously we have relied so much on Vertonghen's experience over the past few years. And he was, you know, he's been so, so consistent and so valuable to the team. And like you mentioned, Lee, before, like his relationship and understanding with Alderweireld is really, really important. And it's something that we are missing now. And both of the goals, would you have said they were maybe potentially not have happened if Vertonghen was on the pitch? I think the second one, obviously, Alderweireld gets caught out a little bit by Aguero's movement, but then Sanchez could have maybe cut it out a little bit better. He was not as quick to sort of like close the angle down, I thought. It was a poor goal to concede, I think, from a Spurs point of view. And obviously the first one, as we mentioned, Walker-Peters does get dragged in a little bit. So maybe that might have been something, again, that would have been different. Would you agree, Dorset Lee?
Yeah, no, I do agree. I do agree. I think Vertonghen's a key man for us, and I think he would have seen it. And his communications with Toby would have helped that out, especially with the young guy being out on the right. And he's under a lot of pressure, I think. For me, I think it was a big mistake not having him in there. But Pochettino's obviously, there's obviously something going on. And sometimes as a manager, you have to make a statement. And maybe that's what's going on. Maybe he's making a statement to Jan to say, look, you know, I'm the boss. You'll play when I say. But for me, I think there's other games he could use to do that other than Man City, you know. So
it does seem like he's almost trying to prove a point, doesn't it? It's like he's almost, I don't know. I mean, he has mentioned fitness, but if he's fit enough for the bench, he's fit enough to play. So then therefore he should be in the first team because he's a better player than Sanchez. It's as easy as that. Like if he's not fit, then he shouldn't be on the bench at all. And I can't see him, you know, going having a hissy fit because he's not in the team again, because that's apparently what happened last time. So there has to be another reason, I think, why he's being treated like this. And reading like Alistair Gold's Football London article in the past couple of days, he said that he thinks he will stay. So it's not necessarily a question of whether another club has come in for him. It just might be a case of there's been some falling out, which we're not privy to, Matt.
I just think, sorry, Matt, before you jump in, I just think if you go back to those goals and Lee said, you've got Walker Peters lacking experience out on the right, and you've got Sanchez, and I know he's played a lot of games, but his maturity in that role doesn't quite fit how many games he's actually played just yet. So Toby was actually overcompensating to the left at one stage and then overcompensating to the right. And that's what you miss when you have two solid, experienced centre-backs who can both take control. You take control of the right, I take control of the left. And that's why Toby was out of position. And that's why Walker Peters out of position, because he's coming across to cover where Toby's got to cover, where Sanchez is in no man's land. And if you look after that second goal, Winks and Sanchez are going at each other just because they didn't communicate the movement of the man off the ball with it. Killer cross, absolute, you know, take nothing away from that ball, by the way.
Yeah.
But I just think, you know, that could have been prevented from coming all the way across. So poor old Toby stuck in the middle. Lack of experience on the right of him, lack of experience to the left of him. We can't keep chancing our arm like that against big teams, you know. So whatever it is, it needs to be resolved. They need to be men, shake hands, and let's go, you know, let's go and sort out the barcodes.
The thing that I don't know if this was something that you guys saw or thought, but for me also, Lloris on that header, it did go in sort of across him, the position where he wasn't necessarily expecting it to go, but there was no reaction and it was close to him and he literally just looked at it. There was nothing at all. And from where he was, all he had to do was spread himself a little bit. He could have actually ran towards Sterling a little bit more and blocked the header. Like, he was standing at his near post, quite close to the right-hand post. So he's blocking the near post, but he's basically giving the far post, which is fine. But then he didn't dive, he didn't do anything, he just watched it go in, and it wasn't a bullet header. So I don't know, Matt, am I being too overly critical? I just thought there should have been more of a reaction.
I think it was more about the De Bruyne cross, to be honest with you. I mean, the guy is just like he's on another planet, and he, like most of the Man City team,
yeah, but
and
you saw where the cross was going, if it lands on his head, you got to react.
Yeah, it was a sublime cross, and you know Sterling's come out of nowhere. You can see it. It bamboozled him. I think I don't think you can lay much of the blame to, for my personal. I don't think you can lay much of the blame to Lloris, to be honest.
Okay, all right. Lee,
my personal opinion.
Dorset Lee, what are you saying?
Well, I just think with Lloris, he doesn't seem to be, and this might just be my opinion, right? But he doesn't seem to be commanding his area like he used to. He doesn't seem to be coming off his line as much as he did before. I mean, it used to be quite annoying at times when he would come right out. You think, what are you doing out there? But now he seems to be more stuck on his line. I kind of agree with you. I think, yeah, Man City, fantastic. The cross was unbelievable and Sterling's movement. But at the same time, if Lloris goes airing towards him and clatters him, you know, for me, I just think, you know, maybe he just needs to be a bit more commanding of his area at the moment. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I was going to say, do you think part of the problem with Lloris is because he got a lot of stick last season with the amount of times he did come out and make mistakes? He's obviously, that's in the back of his mind this season.
Yeah, maybe. But you've got to have that kind of balance somewhere. You know, he's got to do what he's good at. And he was always good, you know, bar the odd mistake of commanding that area and closing down the angles and getting onto people quickly and making them make a decision. And I just think he's kind of lost that. He seems to be sitting on his line and waiting for something to happen and then trying to make a stop. And to be fair to him, don't get me wrong, he made a couple of good saves in that game. So, I mean, it weren't like he had a poor game.
No,
but
not
I just
all.
Think there's a couple of occasions where I just thought he could have been quicker off the line, quicker out towards the attacker to kind of close the angle or to put him under a bit of pressure.
Yeah, that was the thing, because the time it took for the cross to get there, once it did get there, then he still had time to react. And he just left the only place which was available, I think, for Sterling to put it. Maybe he was worried about Sterling getting back across. But for me, I think his reaction should have been better. So anyway, let's talk about the positives, because it was a positive result in the end. We got a hard-earned point, thanks to VAR. So Lamela's performance, a goal and assist from midfield. Obviously, when Moura was on the bench and Lamela started, Twitter went into meltdown as per usual because people just like that. Matt, were you pleased to see Lamela in there? Were you surprised? Would you have played Moura instead? And how do you think Lamela's doing this season?
Yeah, Lamela's doing all right, isn't he? I mean, that goal, it was quite an odd one because I know he got a bit of curl on it, but he almost landed in the middle of the goal, didn't it? So, you know, we're criticising Lloris, but I think that keeper's got to take a bit of a blame for that one.
Yeah, it's a howler.
It was, wasn't it? But yeah, look, hindsight's a wonderful thing. And obviously, Moura's come on as a second half sub, scored within, 19 seconds. So, you know, in hindsight, yeah, possibly playing Lamela was the better option. But if you'd have asked me at the beginning of the game, I probably would have said, look, play Moura. But, you know, as it panned out, you know, Lamela scored in the first half and Moura scored in the second half and it worked, you know what I mean? But, you know, I'd play Moura over Lamela if it was me, you know, okay. Without hindsight.
You talk about the corner, obviously, earlier on when you were laughing about Eriksen, but it does actually make a difference to have Lamela on corners because he is a better crosser of the ball from those kind of positions. And obviously we did get a goal from it. So he managed to avoid the first man. I mean, I've no idea whether Eriksen has ever seen that happen before. But it was great to see. And obviously, I mean, credit has to go to Moura because, I mean, I don't know how tall he is, but the brother can leap. Like, seriously, he can really, really, really jump. That was, like, incredibly impressive, I thought, to be able to get that goal. So, yeah, props to him. Dorset Lee, Ndombele's performance. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, according to all the stats, he played really, really well. But I just think he kind of got overshadowed by the fact that he was chasing shadows a lot of the time. I think, you know, Man City's movement and their press was so good that it was really hard looking at that middle sort of three or four to be able to say, pick out their performance as a good performance, if you know what I mean. Against Villa, yeah, you could say, you know, he got the ball, he was moving it well and stuff like that. Against City, I thought it was a different kettle of fish. I didn't think he had an outstanding game, but by all accounts, according to the stats, he had a good game. So
I think his fitness,
you know,
for me still looks a bit. I think he's just got a little bit of catching up to do because he still doesn't look like he was completely on point fitness wise. But I think he's still performing. The one thing actually I forgot to mention was the celebrations for Moura's goal. There wasn't much, like. I don't know if that's because they knew that they were going to have a shitstorm for the rest of the day, like in terms of there's no point in going crazy here, guys, because there's a lot more that we got to deal with. It's only 56 minutes. Let's get back. But like if you watch the video, Toby just like runs back, like only about three or four players go over to Moura. And I just thought that was quite surprising because, you know, we scored an equaliser at the Champions. Do you know what I mean? Like that was for me quite a big thing, but it was strange to just see them like, it was almost matter of fact. It was like, come on, sort of, let's head back. I don't know what you guys think.
Maybe they just thought to themselves, oh shit, we better get back into position here because we're going to get absolutely peppered now. Because this will wake them up. You know, that's what I'm thinking.
I just walked in and there's like a dragon in the corner and then like, oh God, you just stepped on a little nail and then you see the dragon's eye open and you're like, okay, right, let's get out of here.
Retreat.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. I'm just glad that's happy now. Okay, a couple of bits of news about our loanees today. Or not our loanees, our players that have gone out on loan. Does that make them a loanee? Anywho, so we have George Marsh that has gone to Leighton Orient until January 2020. He had quite a good pre-season with us. He was playing quite a bit in the tour. So good luck to George. And then also Anthony Georgiou has gone to Ipswich. He signed a contract till 2021, I believe, but he's also gone on loan. He's gone to Ipswich again till January 2020. So I thought they were both did have quite well in pre-season, lads. I don't know what you guys thought. I think we mentioned just off air then, Dorset Lee, about potentially Georgiou's attitude, maybe something that you've heard. And I've actually heard a similar thing last season as well. I think I mentioned it on the show maybe. And so hopefully going to another loan club. He went to Levante last season for Levante B, I think he played for. Apparently did quite well over there. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I've only heard it just through the grapevine that, his issue is more around his attitude to training and that kind of stuff, maybe lifestyle and stuff like that, as opposed to his ability, because I think he's clearly got some ability. I watched him in the pre-season, not this season, but the season before when he was out in the States, and he looked a decent prospect. And again, he'd come back this year and played really well. I mean, quite impressed, especially with a lot of the youngsters, actually. But, I mean, I thought he did all right. So it's good to see him getting another contract, and we'll see how he gets on at Ipswich, see if he can knuckle down a little bit.
Those of you that obviously do keep in touch with the West of the Games and the club, you must have also seen that we had a good win, the under-23s, 3-1 against Manchester City last Monday, I think it was. I'm not even sure. Not Monday, because we were playing the podcast on Monday. Friday night, 3-1. Troy Parrott got a brace. One of them was an absolute screamer. Really, really good goal. How close do you think he is, Lee, to making a first team appearance with us, obviously, because he is playing the under-23s. Does that mean, because he's in the under-23s, then if he does, he's in the under-23 squads, he wouldn't be in the first team squad? Is it either or? If he was to make a first team squad, does that mean he would have to leave the under-23 squad?
I believe he's free for us to pick him, whatever, pretty much whatever age group he qualifies for. It's how we develop him. So I think, I mean, he played in pre-season. He done very well. You know, physically, he looks the part for his age as well. So I think they're going to try and develop him by involving him predominantly in the under-23 football this year. In terms of our position, we spoke before, how do we use Kane? Do we use Sonny as the backup striker all the time? Are we going to be a bit more clever this year? And the cup games, are we going to rest both of them rather than push one and the other? How close is he? I think that providing he carries on performing in the under-23s, I'd expect to see him in one of the cup games, in one of the early round of the cup games this season. And with a little bit of luck, he can push on and, you know, be involved with the first team squad as the season progresses. Well, there's no reason why he can't. He clearly has ability, and strength wise, he looks like he can hold his own.
So obviously, in terms of like attacking substitutions and attacking options, we are a bit limited. Obviously now, Son's coming back from suspension. Ali's looking like he might come back from injury. So it's a different call now. But when you were just looking on the bench, for the Villa game, there wasn't any attacking options. Obviously, Eriksen came on. And then obviously on Saturday, there was Moura who came on. So do you think he's close to maybe becoming that potential striker on the bench? Or do you think now, because Son's come back, and now, as you said before, we're almost like, it's not even just in midfield, like in terms of centre midfield, but we have now Lo Celso, who's now another attacking option. Lamela and Moura, Son and Ali and Eriksen, it's a lot to try and fit in a team and a squad and a bench. So do you think almost his time will just be for those like sort of lower league opposition games?
I think so. And I think that's probably the way it should be. You know, we have some quality players that you've just touched on there, you know, in attacking areas. So we don't need to rush him. We don't need to push him. But at the same time, we don't need to cane our most experienced players when we're notching up 64, 65 games a season again. You know, we just need to be very mindful of that as well when we're asking them. You know, if Kane's injured, it's one, you know, people, Sonny will go in and replace it. Yeah, that's fine. But Sonny's already played 40 games off the wing, you know, so just because he's in a different position, we're still Kane. So listen, we've got the players to look after to look after their positions at the moment. But it'll be good to get Parrott that little bit of experience, dip his toes in, let him know that he's been thought of, and he's 17. There's no real rush.
Definitely. I think people just got a bit excited, didn't they, Matt, in the preseason, because he did look so good, and it was a real great goal. Again, obviously, it was like lower quality than the Premier League and the under-23s, but it was still, you know, he's got his back to goal. It's a good touch, and he bangs it in the top corner.
Yeah, he's definitely quality. I mean, he's been called up to the Ireland squad, hasn't he? Am I right in thinking that to the first team? I mean, they can sit. You're not going to get a 17-year-old who's not played for the first team get called up to the international squad if there's not a lot of potential seen in him, you know. And Lee, you're probably right. I mean, like, you know, if we, for example, get like a Doncaster or something in the League Cup, then yeah, give him a game, like put him up front, give Kane a rest, you know, because I can see him. I've got a feeling with him, he's going to be possibly like a bit of a Dele Alli, where, you know, give him a year or so, and he could potentially be ready, like to play at the highest level at his age.
Well, it will be good to have a striker who is basically ready to be able to step up if needed, if we do have issues with Kane in the future. So best of luck, Troy. So we've mentioned the basically array of talent that we do have coming back and might be available for this weekend's game. So we have Newcastle. So it's time to talk about the Newcastle match. I mean, on paper, it looks like it's going to be a 5-0, obviously, but we don't do very well in these kind of games.
Why did you say that?
It's rare that we do that well against these kind of games when they come back and they sit back. And, you know, I can't think of the... I mean, I think there was a 5-0 against, was it Bournemouth, Southampton, Bournemouth? Or I know there's one against Swansea a few years back. And there was one season where we absolutely spanked teams like this, but that hasn't really happened recently. So... I mean, obviously, I'm still going to put Kane as my captain in the Fantasy League, and maybe that's just a complete curse, which has just ruined everything. So I apologise to everyone for that. So, I mean, just if you just look at the game against, for their first game against the Scum, they were terrible. They were really, really poor. Like, Arsenal should have won at least sort of two or three. And then Norwich, who, you know, fair enough, played well. Pukki scored a hat-trick and a great, great first volley. He looks quite decent. So, you know, but... they're not playing well. Bruce has not really worked out who his best team is. He's got all these new signings on loan and they're just none of them really firing. So in theory, it's going to be an absolute storming victory. Is it not, Matt?
No, have you put a curse on it now, mate? I think with my personal opinion is Newcastle are going to struggle to stay up this season because they don't realise how well they had it with Benitez. I mean, you got Benitez, like a classy, classy manager who's done wonders at that club and kept him mid-table, hasn't he? But, I mean, look, Bruce is a decent enough manager, but he's not in the same class as Benitez, and I think they're going to really struggle. And, look, I don't want to put a curse on it either, but it should be a comfortable win for me on Sunday.
Good. There we go. See, it's not a curse. It's just being confident. There's nothing wrong with that. None of us predicted a loss against Man City. And look what happened. We didn't lose. So, you know, let's just go with it. Dorset Lee, what are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think this is the sort of game you want after a game against Man City, isn't it? You know, this is the game you're looking forward to. You're going, right, so we've had a real tough game against one of the best teams in the world. So now we want a team that we can actually stretch our legs against and really go for it. And I think we will. I've got a feeling that we're really going to go for it in this game. But as you say, you wouldn't be a Tottenham fan if you weren't thinking to yourself, nah, we'll mess this up, mate. Doing it the hard way since 1882. So, yeah, you know, for me, yeah, this is the game we want to play. We should beat them comfortably. Will it go like that? Only time's going to tell us, isn't it?
Yeah. Will. Okay, so let's talk about formation and selection because obviously Son's coming back, which is great. So does that mean that Moura, not even started obviously in the last game, is again going to be on the bench? Is Lamella going to be starting? Is Sissoko going to be starting? Is Winks going to be starting? Is Vertonghen going to be starting? Lee Curtin, you are the man with the answers.
Well, I don't know about that. The man with the predictions, not the answers. God, where do you go? I think Sonny comes back in. I think he comes in for Lamella.
And then go with the three, because obviously he had the three again, so he's Winks, yep. And Ndombele and Sissoko. So
I think this is the game for Winks, but I think you probably can't start him given the last two games. But this would be the game where you tell him to get on the ball and move it around rather than the battle. So looking at the start, you know, from the starting 11 this week, I think he just loses Lamella. I think Moura sits on the bench again. Maybe, unfortunately, I'd probably start with Winks again, to be honest with you, because I think you've just got to get on the ball to tear these lot apart. They're not they're going to struggle with us moving the ball around. And if you've got Eriksen and Winks out there moving the ball around, Sonny running at them, how good will it be to see somebody running with the ball at a defence and not lose it? I mean, Moura does it sometimes, but gets so excited. You know, it's a good thing that he's quick, because those touches ain't the best all the time. But Sonny could do it. Kane leading the line at the top. And Eriksen probably a bit wider to the right.
Should we not then just almost play the team that we were going to, but that we suggested to play against City then, Matt, which obviously you weren't on the pod, but you listen to it every week. In terms of the fact that we were saying to maybe lose Sissoko and then play Winks and then on Dembele, and then obviously we could then have another attacking player in there. So you could have Eriksen come in as well, which is obviously what happened. But then obviously they... he took out Moura. So what are your thoughts?
I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because we've been crying out for signings, like, you know, for the two winners with Ndombele, and it's giving him a massive headache, hasn't it, with Ndombele? Because you had that Winks and Sissoko partnership in the middle of the field, and it worked so well. But it's more of a struggle now, because obviously, like Lee was saying, you're having to push Sissoko right. But I I'm sure you'd all agree, I'd rather have Sissoko in the middle, you know, doing these sort of driving runs from midfield. But then again, like, you know, where do Winks and Ndombele fit in there? So it's a real tricky one. But I never thought I'd be, like, first game last season, if you said to me, I don't want to drop Sissoko, we obviously would have thought we were mental. But that's how it is now for me, I think. Sissoko, in the middle of the field, is one of the strongest, you know, he scares the life out of defenders. He really does. And, Sissoko and Winks, I don't know, how would you do it? I mean, like...
This has been the most... undecided two answers ever.
Flipping
hell. It's like asking a politician something. You guys have just like waffled your tits off and you haven't given an answer.
Because I can't.
Both said all the players. You're like, yeah, should be in there. And Ndombele should be in there. Eric should be in there. Son should be in there.
Son in for Lamella. That's
Lamella. So then you're going to play the same formation which we weren't happy with against City.
But I don't think he's going to change the formation. I think that's the problem. I don't think he's going to change it. I think he's going to persist with it.
That's very very annoying if he does, because it's not working. And it's too defensive. Winks and Ndombele and Sissoko are too defensive to play in a three, I think.
It needs to be two of the three. But like I said, signing Ndombele has given Poch that headache, hasn't it?
Yeah, but he's given him rotation. It's just like signing Lo Celso. You know, he's given him options, but you don't have to play all of your options. I don't think Lo Celso is going to play as well as Eriksen, as well as Lamela, as well, you know. So I think he's going to, I think it'll be interesting. And if Ali's back fit on the bench?
I think if Ali's fit, he won't play. He won't start him.
No, he won't start him. Lo Celso, were you pleased with his one touch, one pass?
What, 100% pass rate?
Exactly.
That's solid, isn't it? That is solid.
You're right, though, Noel. You're right in what you're saying. We've been crying out for depth, haven't we, for a long time. And yet, when we're talking about formations and players in and players out on the day, we're still harping back to what we know from the past, aren't we? You know, Winks and Sissoko in together. For me, I think you could find that Dembele gets a rest this week. Because I don't think they need him, and he's like you said about his fitness, and that maybe he needs easing in a little bit, and maybe I agree with Lee. I think Moura and Sonny up with Kane as opposed to Lamella. I think he gets a break, and you could, in my view, you could see Lo Celso come in for Eriksen, because of all this uncertainty around Eriksen. If Lo Celso is fit and he's ready to go, this could be a game for him to come into. Like we say, it's a game you want to have after playing Man City, isn't it? So maybe this is the one where he can experiment a little bit more and bring in and bed in some of the other players that he's brought in.
Do you think
Eriksen might not even be a Tottenham player come Sunday, you know?
Well, this is the thing. Do you think he's almost like trying to persuade him to stay by giving him these opportunities? Obviously, apparently in the first game, he was a bit concerned with his fitness because he had an injury pre-season, a slight injury. So that was why he didn't start. And obviously, he did start on Saturday. Do you think he's worried that if he does drop him now, then it might basically say to him, do one, you know, as in terms of like, you know, we don't need you. We got Lo Celso. So that's my concern, because I think we need all of them. Like, I don't want to lose Eriksen. So I think he's probably a little bit concerned about starting anyone over him at the moment.
Yeah, I think if Ericsson's fit, he plays. I think we kind of said this before. And I think he's professional enough to play the way we want him to. I don't think he'll chance leaving Lo Celso out, put Lo Celso in for him at this point. And like I think we mentioned before, I'd want to keep everybody there anyway, at least until the January window. And if we can keep Eriksen and Lo Celso together until the January window, I'll be happy, because you're saying to Lo Celso, look, this is what he does. This is what we expect from him. This is what we want from you. You know, learn the ropes a little bit. And, you know, you've got the pro and the up and coming there at the same time. So I think you play Eriksen if he's fit for the most part.
Good, good, good. Okay, cool. So prediction time. I'm going to go first today because I'm feeling excited, and I'm going to say 5-0. I'm going to say Harry Kane hat-trick. So you can all eat my shorts next week if we lose.
Get your own shorts now.
Don't find me, Matt. Don't find me. Okay, all right. So over to our very own passenger host, Matt, what are your thoughts on the scoreline?
I think it's going to be a 3-1, a comfortable 3-1. I mean, yeah, I mean, we're struggling for clean sheets at the moment, and I could see them nicking a goal, but yeah, a comfortable 3-1.
Okay, 3-1. Dorset Lee?
3-0.
3-0, solid, I like it. And here we go, Kurtz.
This will be for 3 out of 3, won't it?
Did you get 2-2 last week?
Yeah. Do you wanna listen back?
But did you say VAR? Because like, if you didn't, then it doesn't count.
Yeah, I was always gonna be there. No, I'm in agreement with Lee. I think I'm gonna go for 3-0. I fancy 3-0. I do fancy the clean sheet this time around.
You can't say it because Lee said it.
Oh, right. Okay, do you want me to go for 4?
I'm joking. Okay, all right. Okay, fair enough. Good stuff. Well, we're all predicting an easy game, so you know what's going to happen.
No, we didn't predict it. The score suggested it was easy. We didn't predict an easy game.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
You know we make hard work of it.
We do. I can't wait to go. It's going to be amazing. All right, gents, lovely to have you once again. And fingers crossed it is going to be a win at the end of the day. I don't really care how it is, and we do get some good performances, and we hopefully do get to see a little bit more of Lo Celso, and obviously Son, welcome back, and hopefully Ali is getting back to full fitness as well. So thank you very much once again, Mr. Lee Curtin, Dorset Lee, and Matthew Coulson. This is the Thing I Love Most show. We are on YouTube. We sometimes do videos on YouTube, and we're probably going to do one actually in a couple of weeks. So do stick around if you want to see that. There's loads of other videos on there. We're also on Twitter, The Thing I Love Most Show, TTILM Show. And we're also on Instagram, and you can join us on Facebook as well. So thanks a lot for listening. Once again, thanks a lot for my guests. And join us next week. And once again, of course, as always, come on, you Spurs. We're singing the rain. It's running the short bus for the world.